Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Chaf Vav. We left off on Daf Chaf Hey Amin Beis. We are about to start the second lashon of this machlokas about Efshar v'kamechavin at Ikeda Amri, about 7-8 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by the Zuchus Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Kelmer, Yehuda ben Rivka Leah, and for Refuah Shleima for Chana Esther Bas Ayala Hadar, a little baby who needs a Refuah Shleima by a friend of the family. And it's also sponsored by Avi and Esti Goldstein and family, Lizecher Nishmas, my dear Talmud, Zachary Goldstein, Chaim Tzvi ben Avram, Alav HaShalom, whose second yard site is this coming Shabbos, Neshama Shevin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss in today's daf is, first we're going to continue, most of the daf is going to continue, this sugya of Hana'a Ba'ololad and Balkarcha. If a person happens to have Hana'a, but not by making a conscious choice to receive that Hana'a. So we have this machlokas that we're going to learn about. We learned one version of the machlokas. We're going to have a second version of the machlokas about getting hana'ah from something that's also hana'ah in a situation where it's unavoidable, it's lo efshar, you cannot avoid it, but it's mechavein, it's intended. Abaye and Rav are each going to explain the basis for their respective opinions, and then before we finish the discussion, the machlokas Abaye and Rav, the Gemara is going to have a parenthetical discussion of the Yisr Me'ila, and whether it's violated when somebody benefits from the smells of Hegdish. Is that also called an Yisr Me'ila? And then the daf is going to conclude by beginning a discussion. At the end of the daf, we're going to begin a discussion of using Yisur Anah for fuel, for a fire and an oven, and how that affects not only the status of the oven. Is that oven ever going to be kosher again? Is it, do you just have to wait till it cools down, or do you have to destroy the oven? But also how it affects the food that was baked in that oven, if there were Yisurei Hana'a that were fueling that oven. So let's begin at the Ikeda Amri, about 7-8 lines from the end of the page, on Daf Chafei on base. First word on the line is Heicha, and we're at the fourth word on the line. Ikeda Amri, Efshar B'lo Mechavein, Hainu Pluktai D'Rabbi D'Rabbi Shimon. That if it's a situation where it's possible to avoid it, but you're not having kavana to get enough from it, so that's Davar Sheinu Meskaven, that's Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that we have all over the place, whether the Davar Sheinu Meskaven is Asur Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds Asur, Rabbi Shimon holds Mutter. That wouldn't be a Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Lo Efshar V'lo Kamechavin, if it's unavoidable and you're not having kavana, then Kliyam L'Pligi D'Shari, then that's all factors working in your favor, and therefore everyone's going to agree that that's going to be Mutter. Ki Pligi, the whole Machlokas is Delo Efshar V'Kamechavin. It's unavoidable, but once you're there, you see you have kavana for the enjoyment. So va'alibud Rabbi Shimon does l'basar kavana kliyam l'pligi d'asir. According to Rabbi Shimon, holds that normally davar sheinu meskaven is mutter because he thinks kavana really, really matters. So we hear where you dafka are having kavana, everyone's going to say that Rabbi Shimon would hold that it's asir. Ki pligi alibud Rabbi Yehuda, the machlokas Abaye and Rava is within shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, when Rabbi Yehuda says that a davar sheinu meskaven is asir, what he's really telling me is that kavana is a very big deal. When determining whether you're in violation of something, kavana is a critical factor. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that normally a davar sheinu meskaven is asur, what about over here where it's unavoidable, but you're having kavana? So kavana is a critical factor. So d'amar lo shel meskaven lo shel sheinu meskaven, efshar asur, that it shouldn't make a difference whether you're having kavana or not having kavana. If it's efshar, then it's asra. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a davar sheinu meskaven is asur, meaning kavana is not a factor. Rabbi Shimon holds that kavana is a factor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, kavana is a non-factor, and therefore, if it's avoidable and it doesn't make a difference whether you're having kavana or not, it's going to be asur. So Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye goes with the simple reading of Rabbi Yehuda, which would be that Rabbi Yehuda asurs when it's possible to avoid, even though you're not having kavana, you see that he doesn't think kavana is a factor unless it's it's a factor, and the whole issue would be about efshar and lo efshar, meaning there's only one factor you have to look at. Is it avoidable or is it unavoidable? So Abaye will say that if it's avoidable, then it's going to be asur. If it's unavoidable, it's mutter. And I simply don't look at kavana at all. Kavana is simply not a factor. V'rava amar lach. But Rava would say, no. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda shein miskaven ki miskaven. When does Rabbi Yehuda say that kavana is not a factor and even not having kavana is the same as having kavana? Elo l'chumra. That's when it's going to be a Chumrah, meaning in Hilchah Shabbos, you have a Davar Shein Miskavein, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that's Aser, that's L'Chumrah to say that a Davar Shein Miskavein is Aser. That's where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that he doesn't distinguish between a Davar Miskavein and a Davar Shein Miskavein. Aval Miskavein, Kshein Miskavein, L'Kula? Lo, but he's not going to say that a Miskavein and a Miskavein are the same as far as being Makel, which is, that's what it would yield in our case. In our case, it would yield the Kula, because in our case, it would turn out that when if you hold that kavana is a non-factor, that even when you're having kavana, but it was an unavoidable situation, it would be mutter. So no, he's not going to go that far. He's not going to say that ena miskavein is going to be mutter in that case. Now there is a discussion the Chavetz Chaim has in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim in Klal Vav in the Be'er Mayim Chaim section Sif Katan Yud Dalit, where he discusses whether if a person is in a situation where the hana is ba'alo, the hana is coming to him, and he's not having kavana for the yisur, so it's lo efshar, and he's ainu mechavin. So that we said is going to be mutter. What about by lashon hara? Do you have to close your ears? Meaning, when we say that you're in that situation, in all these cases, you're walking by. Do you have to hold your nose when you're walking by and there's a smell? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara that you have to actually hold your nose, or that you have to close your eyes, or they have to close your ears. It just says that since it's not possible to avoid, and you're not having kavana to get hana from it, so it's therefore going to be mutter. So you have a rare kula. The Chavetz Chaim says if you're sitting around with friends for a purpose, it's not a lashon hara gathering. It's a gathering for something else. And then someone says something that you think might be lashon hara, or you think, or you know, is lashon hara. The Chavetz Chaim says you don't have to close your ears as long as you're not having kavana to be nana from it. But if you're having kavana to be nana from it, you think, ooh, this sounds good, and you start paying careful attention, then it's going to be us, because then it's kamechavein. That's what the Chavetz Chaim writes. Chavetz Chaim then points out that the Chachmas Adam writes in Shari Sivah Heter in Klal Pei Dalid that it's usher to hear klei shir shel avodah zarah and lahariach berecha, to smell the smells of avodah zarah, listakel benoya, and if you had to look at the beautiful sights of avodah zarah, but if you need to walk there, yatum aznav v'yatzom einav v'yistam nechirav shelo yehana. That the Chachmas Adam says no, that you dafka have to close your eyes, your ears, your nose, and make sure that you don't, even if you're not having kavana to get hana'a, you have to make sure that you don't actually get hana'a, because he says it's a psik reishim layamus is going to be asr. So Chavetz Chaim really questions that, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yaradei and Simkuf Mem Beis that you're not allowed to hear kleshir shel avodah zarah, or to be mistakel benoy avodah zarah, because you're being nena b'ri'iya. And the Rama writes, but a davar shein miskavein is mutter, that if you're not having kavana, it's mutter. So the Shach points out that from Shas and Poskim in our sugya, even if it's possible for you to go somewhere else, but it's still going to be a mutter when it's Eino Miskavein. And the Tosa Rosh and Rabbi Yeruchim say that we're talking about a case where you're able to close your ears, to close your eyes, to close your nose, not to get Hana'a from the kol, the Reach, the Mara, and nevertheless, it's mutter when you're not being Miskavein for the Hana'a, because that's not a Psik Reshi. Says the Chavetz Chaim, you read that Shach, the Shach is not telling you that you have to close your eyes, ears, or nose. He's telling you that since you possibly could close your eyes, ears, and nose, it's not a psik reshe. And once it's not a psik reshe, it's therefore going to be mutter. So Chavetz Chaim makes a strong argument, lekula in this case, that it's going to be mutter because it's hana balul adam bal karcho, it's therefore, and it's eino miskavein, and it's not going to be considered psik reshe. So that's, Chavetz Chaim thinks that you don't have to close your ears in such a situation, but again, that's only if you're not being nene. But if a person is being nene from the avodah zarah, then forget it, then for sure it's, from the lashon hara rather, then for sure it's going to be asur. Okay, three lines from the top of the page. Amar Abaye mina aminala. So Abaye starts, Abaye provides his source. Where do I know my opinion? Again, we have this machlokas Abaye and Rava in the case of lo efshar v'kamechavin. The hana from the chametz is unavoidable, but you intend to get hana from it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't normally consider kavana to be a factor at all, so Abaye says it's mutter because it was unavoidable, and kavana doesn't concern me at all. If it's unavoidable, it's mutter. Mina aminala. Where do I get that idea that as long as it's unavoidable, no further questions, and you can go and you can get your hana? Titanya amrul. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai sat where? In the Silo shel heichal, in the shade of the heichal. He was being nana from the heichal, and he was darshaning all day to teach everybody. V'hachad alav shar mechavim v'shari. But isn't that a case where it's unavoidable? There's nowhere else where you can gather all of those people together to learn about the Hilchos Yom Tov. So it was lo efshar. It's considered that there was no other venue that was appropriate for what he wanted to do. And nevertheless, but he's having kavana to enjoy the tzel of the heichal, right? You're giving a drasha on Erev Yantif in Eretz Yisrael on any of the Yom Tovim. It could be really hot if it's Erev Shavuos for sure, but any of the, it could be really, really hot. The tzilo shel heichal is very, very valuable for them, but it doesn't matter. I don't care that he has kavana because it's lo efshar, so it's mutter. So you see, that's my source, says Abaye. The Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz raises the question, what's the raya from Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai that he's standing in the cell of the heichal? The heichal is mechuber lekarka, and there's no me'ila by mechuber. So if there's no me'ila by mechuber, it's not even an iser bechlal to be sitting there. So the Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that the gabi me'ila, that which is talush l'besof mechuber, has the din of talush, does not have a din of a mechuber, meaning it's building materials that were once talush and then were mechuber to make the heichal, that would have a din of talush. Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Kuf Chav Zayin suggests that even though there's no me'ila b'mechubar, but there's still an iser da'oraisa, meaning there's no karban me'ila, so you don't have the din of being Mosef Chomesh, you have a lot of the halachos of me'ila, but you still have an iser da'oraisa to actually be nehene. So once it's an iser da'oraisa, then there's no such kasha. Then you understand very well why we're bringing such a raya. How's Rava going to respond to that raya? V'Rava Amar Shaini Heichal D'Letocho Asui. No, the heichal is different because the heichal is primarily letocho. It's primarily to be used for the walls are built to protect that which is inside, not to provide shade for that which is outside. And therefore, this is shelo kederech hana'a. So since you're getting the hana'a in a way that's not the normal way to benefit from it, that's why it was mutter for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, not because it was lo efshar alone. Tosos points out over here in Dibra Maskel Shaini, in the top Tosos, that the fact that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah and Daf Mem Ches that you're not allowed to sit under the shade of an Asherah tree, that's for one of two reasons. Either because it's asu l'tzel, it's not like the heichal, which is asu l'tocho, which is made to protect that which is inside. The whole purpose of the tree is to provide shade. So when you're sitting under the shade of an Asherah tree, you are getting hana from the Asherah tree in the normal way. Or because by avodah zarah we don't have the lashon of achila, so even a hana shelo kederech is going to be asur. Right? Remember we said that only that which has a lashon of achila, lo socha, lo socha, lo yeachal, only then do we say that hana kederech is asur, but shelo kederech is mutter. Achal chelav chai is going to be potter, right? Because it's shelo kederech, because it's belashon achila. But kilei akerem, where it's penti kadesh, it doesn't say any lashon of achila, so then even shelo kederech is going to be asur. So we hear also by hana from avodah zarah, since it's not b'loshen achila, even shelo kederech is going to be asur. Nafkamina between the two answers is if the iser of the hana is mitzel asherah shel avodah zarah, or even from the tzel of the base of avodah zarah. According to the first answer, that it's the tzel of the asherah of avodah zarah that's a problem. But if you enjoy the tzel of a base of avodah zarah, there's a big mega church or something. It's a gigantic building, and it provides a great shade, so you're enjoying the tzel of a base of avodah zarah, well, that's really made letocho, and you're benefiting from that which is outside. So that would, according to the first approach of Tosfos, that would work, whereas according to the other answer of Tosfos, then no, it's a unique thing by avodah zarah, that even shelo kederech is going to be aser, so then even if you're nana from the base of avodah zarah, lechor, it should be a problem. Amar Rava mina aminallah. Rava says, how do I know my opinion, meaning what's the basis where Rava disagreed? Rava says it's asur when you're having kavana, even though it's unavoidable. When you're having kavana, it's asur, because Rabbi Yehuda is only unconcerned with kavana when that will yield a chumra, like davar shein miskaven asur in Hilchos Shabbos. But when it's going to yield a kula, then Rabbi Yehuda is also going to be focused on kavana. He's going to say if you have kavana, then it's going to be asur. So how do I know that that's true? So we learn it from the following. Ditana, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Midos. So the says the Mishnah, Lulin hayu psuchin baliyas beis kodesh hakadoshim. They used to have these little openings in the upper parts of the beis kodesh hakadoshim. Shebehen mishalshlus umnin betevos. They would lower the workers down in boxes kedesh liyazonu einem beis kodesh hakadoshim, so that their eyes wouldn't take in the magnificent beauty of the beis kodesh hakadoshim. Because if their eyes would take in that beauty, that would be called being nene from Hegdash. And we don't want them to be nene from Hegdash. Sfasemes raises the question, once they're being put in boxes, why do you have to drop them in from the ceiling? If they're being put in boxes, just roll them in the box. They're not going to be nene anyway from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why is it necessary to drop them from the ceiling? I always assumed it's because they're fixing things that are high up on the walls that they can't reach. So maybe it's easier to drop them in boxes rather than get them in there and then lift them up once they're in there. So Sfasemes does not take that into account. He says it could be that they dropped them in boxes because they wanted the Knesset to be Shalom Kederach Bia. That the Pasuk says, Val Yavo B'Chalei Sala Kodesh Mibayis HaParochas L'Pnei HaKaparos HaShalar Tzolei Yomus. That you're not allowed, there's an Isser Bia, you're not allowed to go in. So the Isser of walking in is only when it's the normal way to walk in. But when you're coming in through the top, that's Shalom Kederach, and maybe that is an additional Kula. But anyway, so it says Gemara, V'ahacha Deloef, it's unavoidable. Someone's got to do the repairs in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'kamechavein, and you're having kavana v'aser, and because you're having kavana, it's going to be aser. Meaning, when you see the magnificent Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're going to have kavana to enjoy the sights of it, and that's why it's aser. So don't you see? Rava says that kavana does matter, even according to Rav Yehuda. So says Rav Tizbra. Wait a second. There shouldn't be meila in that situation anyway, because anytime you hear the sound, you see the sights, you smell the smells of Hegdish, that's not Mi'ila anyway. So why is this an issue to begin with? You're only seeing the sights of Hegdish. This must be a special chumrah that we have dafka for the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, don't bring me any rayas about being mechavim, being a problem. There's obviously a maila for the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a chumrah for the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. A second possible source for Rava, that how he knows that if you're going to have kavana, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be problem. The sounds and the sights and the smells of Hegdish are not a violation of Mi'ila. Yeah, Mi'ila Hudaleka Ha'isura Ika, but the proper diuk to make is that it's not technically Mi'ila, but it will be an Isser. It is going to be Asser to benefit from the Makal Mar Verech. So, my love, isn't this talking about those people who are inside? Delo Efshar, where it's unavoidable because you're inside. Become a Chavin, but you're having kavana to enjoy the kol ma'arverech, and therefore va'asur, and it's going to be asur. So you see that the fact that you're having kavana is what makes it asur. Says Gemara, no, we're not talking about the people who are inside. Lo, sanam din b'chutz. We're talking about the people who are outside. So if you're going to be if you're going to be outside, it's considered efshar. You could avoid it. So since it's outside and you could avoid it, so that's the only factor. If it's efshar to avoid it, so it's going to be aser. So it has nothing to do with whether you're having kavana or not. The Rishonim raised the question that the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Tesen Beis says that no kala in Yerushalayim ever needed perfumes because the reach haktoris was so strong that it would perfume everyone in Yerushalayim. But according to Abaye over here, there's an issur for the omdim bachutz as well. For the people who are standing outside as well. I mean, that's Abaye's rejection of Rav Azraya, that it's for Osan Amdim Bachutz, that it's Efshar to avoid, and therefore you should avoid it. So the Rishonim answer that the Isser, according to Abaye, is only not to get too close in order to smell from it. But the fact that the smell wafted through the entire city, that's an onus. That's considered something that is unavoidable. So Yishonim and the Ritva say that that's considered like low Efshar, because it's memela would be in the entire city, so that wouldn't be considered something that in fact was efshar. The Rishonim, all the Rishonim really point out over here, Tosos and Tosa Rashba and Tosa Rash, they all point out that there's a Gemara Masechta Sukkah also that talks about the automatic hana'a that you got just by being in the vicinity of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara at the very end of Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, talks about a woman that women would be able to be borer chitim la'arshel Beis HaShoeva. From the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you could do these tasks that require a great deal of light, even in the middle of the night, because the fires were so great, the light was so great, and the Shemin and the Psilos were Kodesh. So if there's an Isser, how could they do that? So they quote Yerushalmi that proves from there that Kol Marav V'Reach is Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ila. So, but we're saying Kol Marav V'Reach Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ila, but it's Aser! So how could they be sifting out the Sa'orim in the light of the Beis HaShoeva. So Tosfos Masechta Sukkah and the Ritva answer that they didn't actually do it. We're just saying that it was so much light that if you really wanted to be involved in something that was very tiny and that you needed a great deal of light for, you could, because there was so much light, but not that people would actually benefit from the light. The Ram Chalava suggests that since it's only Nisid Rabbanan and they already make it to be Mishtamish with that light, Shalol Tzorah Kavoa, but for the sake of the Simcha Bialma of the Beis HaShoeva, so they were making dafka by that light for people outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now Vayter the Gemara Gufa. I'm Rav Shimon Pazi, I'm Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. Kol Mar V'Reich Ein B'Mishum Me'ila. So he said, Kol Mar V'Reich is not a violation of Me'ila. V'Reich Ein B'Mishum Me'ila, is that true? The smells are not a violation of Me'ila. V'Tanya, but we have a Braisa Mefatim, it's like Ketores L'Samiba. If a person produces the Ketores, but he does it in order to learn how to put together the ingredients of the Ketores, Olam Bosu L'Tzibur, or he puts it together in order to provide it for the Tzibur, because we need Ketores Pater. Then he did not violate the Salacha of being Mefatim Ketores. You're not allowed to be Mefatim Ketores when it's not for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. But if he's doing it for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, then he's Pater. But Lariachba, if he's making his own Ketores that are Dumya du Ketores that they use in the Beis HaMikdash just for his own purpose, just to smell it for himself, Chayiv. Vamriach Mepater El Shema'al. And someone who does smell from it is Pater, but it's a violation of Me'ila. So Ella Amra Papa, Kol Amara Ein Bemishum Me'ila Lefishen Me'em Mamish. V'reach, L'achash Talatim Rasein Bemishim El Hol V'nas Mesvaso. So he says, no. When we say Kol Amara V'reach Ein Bemishum Me'ila, you're right. There is a difference between Reach and the other two. Kol Amara is Ein Bemishum Me'ila because there's no Mamashos to Kol Amara. But Reach, when you take in the smell, that's considered to be something that's more mamashos, that has a little more substance to it. That's actually a major sugya that we're going to have later in this Masechta, whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. To what extent do we assume that Reach is Milsa, that Reach is considered something, it's considered substantive. You cook two items in the oven at the same time. One of them is Nevela, one of them is Kosher, both uncovered. So do we assume that the Reach of the Nevela affects the Kosher food? That's a machlokas between Rav and Levi, whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. Or the Gemara is going to talk about in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, Bastiha, that a person wants to smell the wine in order to, so he takes in the fragrance of the wine in order to test it, in order to see whether it's fermenting properly. Apparently this was a thing that people would do, this was a malacha that people know how to do, that they can smell and they could see whether it's aging and fermenting properly. So is that, but it's Stam Yenam. So is that a violation of, because you're being Mariach, although some of the Rishonim understand over there that you're smelling it with your mouth. It's a different kind of that they're able to draw in the aroma. Apparently this is a thing that experts know how to do. I think I looked it up, that they take it in with their nose and out with their mouth when they're testing the wine, when they're smelling. I'm not sure exactly what any of this means, but it's all part of that broader sugya of whether what extent Reach is substantial. So the Gemara is saying Reach is much more substantial than Kol Amara. But when it comes to the Reach after the Ketores already produced its smoke, so then it's already Nasas Mitzvah, so the Mitzvah is already done with it, and therefore you're allowed to benefit from it at that point. So the Meimer to call Echad Nasas Mitzvah Ein Bo Mishum Me'ila. Wait a second, you mean to tell me as soon as the Mitzvah is done, it's no longer subject to Me'ila? Very Trumas Hadashen Nasas Mitzvah V'yesh B'Mishum Me'ila. What about the Trumas Hadashen? The Mitzvah is already done with the Trumas Hadashen, and it's still the subject to Me'ila. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says V'samoi Tzalam Mizbech, that they gently place it down next to the Mizbech, the Trumas Hadashen, the old ashes that were on the Mizbech that they scooped off, they have to gently place down next to the Mizbech. Gently Shelo Yefazeh, that it shouldn't scatter all over the place. V'samah Shelo Yehana, and you have to put it there in a way that you're not going to get enough from it. But wait a second, all those kabbarnas that were already burnt, it was already Nasas Mitzvah. So how can you tell me that when the Mitzvah was already done, it's no longer subject to an Isser, to an Isser Anah? Over here, you see the Trumas Hadashen is, so says Mar, you're right, Trumas Hadashen is an exception, it's not the rule. Mishum Dabat Trumas Hadashen of Bigdei Kuhuna, Shnei Ksuv Naban Kechad. There are two places where the Torah tells me, even after the mitzvah is done, the Isser Anah remains, and whenever the Torah tells me something in two places, those are the exception, they're not the rule. If it was the rule, the Torah would only tell it to me in one place, and then I would say, Binyanav, Mematzinu. If it says it in one place, we can apply it everywhere. everywhere. When the Torah tells it in paradoxically, when the Torah tells it to me a second time, that's telling me to apply it less, that it only applies in those two times. So the two situations are Shum Zesh and Big Dekuna. Because Sheikh Sumaban Kechad ain't Melamdin. And the rule is, whenever you have Sheikh Sumaban Kechad, it's ain't Melamdin. You're not allowed to apply it to other areas of halacha. So Chumas Sedeshen Adamar, we already explained Chumas Sedeshen, that even after when you put down the ashes, it's still usher to get enough from it, even though the mitzvah was already done with it. Big Dekuna, where do we find Big Dekuna? That after the Big Dekuna were used, there's still going to be usher to get enough, because the Pasuk says, V'hinicham Sham, the Pasuk says, U'ba'arun elol moed, U'pashat is Big De'abad, Asher lavash bevo'o el HaKodesh, that he takes off the begadim that he wore when he was bo'o el HaKodesh, V'hinicham Sham, and he puts them there. What's it telling me when it says V'nicham Sham? Balamit Shutun Geniza, that they cannot be picked up by anyone else and reused. They require Geniza. Once it's already been used, it's ready enough mitzvaso, it remains asbara forever. So Hanichal Rabban Darmin Lamam Shutun Geniza. That works very well if you actually assume that that's the halacha. That once he takes off those begadim, those big dekuna gedola, they require Geniza. Other Rabbi Dosa, the Palagalai, Udamar of Luru, name the Kohen Hedyot. But according to Rabbi Dosa, these are the big de lava, these are not the big de zav. So they're wrong to use for a Kohen Hedyot. And therefore, they're not going to be usher forever. A Kohen Hedyot could use them. My V'inicham Sham, what does V'inicham Sham teach me? Yishtam Sham Yom Kippur Macher. Then next Yom Kippur, when you're going to do the Avodah, Lefnai V'Lefnin, in the Dal B'Dadim, then you're going to do so with new clothing. You're not going to reuse the same clothing. But they don't become usher ba'anah. Oh, so if that's the case, Michael the Meimer, then how can we say that any time something's nasas mitzvaso, you're not allowed to be nenef from it? We see that that you are allowed to be nenef from it. We see by Chumas Hadeshen, you're not allowed to be nenef from it. And that's the one and only exception. That's the one and only case that the Torah tells us about. And the rule is, when the Torah tells me in one and only case, then it must be that we can apply it everywhere. That just like Chumas Hadeshen is asher ba'anah after nasas mitzvaso, the rest of Kala Torah Kula. Meaning if Big Day Kahuna is not a second example, we no longer have Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad. Says the Gemara, there's another second example. Mishum David Shumas Deshen Ve'Egla Arufa Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad. Egla Arufa is also an example where the Torah tells me, after the mitzvah is already done, still Aser Ba'anah. So those are the two exceptions. Because Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad Ein Melamdin. Hanichal Amandi Amar Ein Melamdin. That's if you say that Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad is actually Ein Melamdin. Meaning that whenever the Torah tells it to me in two places, those are the exception in there, not the rule. But if you hold that Shnei Ksuvin Aban Kechad is Melamdin, then how are we going to answer this question? How are we going to answer why it is that when something is Nasas Mitzvaso, it becomes Mutter? The only examples we have in the Torah of something that's Nasas Mitzvaso, the Torah Dafka tells me it's Aser. So it says, because specifically in each place that the Torah says it's Aser, it also indicates that it's an exception. Iksiv, the Samo, that Dafka, the Chumas Hadeshen is your Samei Tel Mizbeach, and you still have to concern yourself with it, but normal things would not. Uksiv Ha'arufa, that it's Dafka the Egla Arufa, that you still have to concern yourself with the potential Isra'na, after you put it down, after you're already finished with the mitzvah, but elsewhere in the Torah, we would not have to concern ourselves with the Yisra'na. So this idea, kol marav reyach, that it's also to be nana from Hegdish, the same applies, lahavdil, when it comes to the Yisra'na from Avodah Zarah, that the Beis Yosef writes in Yoridea, in Simon Kuf Ben Beis, in Nimra Ben Yeruchim, that one is not allowed to hear klei shir shal Avodah Zarah, one is not allowed to be mistakel benoy Avodah Zarah, because you're being and it's derived from Rishum Ben Pazi in our sugya called Marav Reyach of Hegdish, that even though there's no Mi'ila, but it's also to be Nena from them, meaning by saying that it's Ein Bo Mishum Mi'ila, the Gemara made that Diuk, that it's not technically Mi'ila, but it's also to get Hana'a, meaning this is called Hana'a. And based on that, there's a tshuva in the Minchas Aluzer in Chelek Beis in Simenayin Gimel. The Munkacher discusses what about looking at the time on a clock that's on the top of a church. Sometimes they would make the clock, they would put the clock for the whole city to see on the steeple of the church, on the top of the church building. So is that an isser of being nene from the mara of Avodah Zarah? So he says, first of all, is Christianity Avodah Zarah? Yes. Does the church have a din of a base of Avodah Zarah? Yes, he says. That's how we paskin, that it has a din of Avodah Zarah. So he says there are some people that are makbid, that they don't look at the clock. But he says, l'chori yav a heter, based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Yaredeya, based on the Trumas Hadeshen, if priests or other officers walk around with a tselem around their neck, with a shasiv ariv, let's say, on their beged, or they're carrying those images with them, that you're allowed to bow to them, because everyone knows that you're not bowing to the shasiv ariv. Everyone knows that it's just a greeting for the honored individual, but it's not at all for the shasiv ariv. So he says, based on that Ramah, everyone knows. I mean, you're looking at the, you're not looking for the avodah zarah, you're looking for the time, and everyone knows that it has absolutely nothing to do with whatever's underneath it. And he says, and I'll tell you weiter, he says that normally it's not always on a church. Sometimes it's the clock tower is just the tallest building in town. They'll put it on some other building. Whatever is the tallest building in town, it just happens to be that very often the base of avodah zarah is the tallest building in town. But that's not the lumdus of why they put the clock there. The clock really has nothing to do with the avodah zarah. The clock is there just so that the whole city should be able to see it, because not everyone had a wristwatch, not everyone had a phone or a whatever, a Fitbit, or people didn't have access to the time easily, so they had to put it in a place where everybody could see it. There's also, just parenthetically over here, there's a comment that the Briska Rav has about that which is Nasis Mitzvah. So the Briska Rav writes in his Mechtavim that when we say that in the mitzvah, that once you're Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Ketores, that it's Mishatala Timrasa, once the smoke goes up, the mitzvah of the Ketores is already done, that's only as far as the mitzvah of Haktara, the Kol Zman, that the smoke didn't go up, it's not yet Nigmar Mitzvaso. But it is already Nigmar Mitzvaso from a different perspective. The Kohen Oved has fulfilled his mitzvah, meaning his job is to put the Ketores on top of the coals, and now the smoke is going to go up, but that happens Mimela, that happens by itself. So as far as the Cheftza is concerned, it's not yet Nasas Mitzvaso until the smoke comes up. But as far as the Gavra is concerned, as far as the Kohen Oved, he's done as soon as he puts the Ketores down. He says, except for the when it comes to the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim Lefnai V'Lefnim. By the Ketores of Yom HaKippurim Lefnai V'Lefnim, part of his avoda, it's not Nas Mitzvaso until Nismale HaBayis Kulo Ashan, until the whole bayis is full of smoke. Only then. So what's Nafkamina L'Gabe the Gavra? Nafkamina is, can he leave? Because he's not allowed to leave until Tigmar Mitzvaso, until the mitzvah's over. So as far as the Ketores, so it might not be done, but he's done. And therefore he's allowed to move on. But as far as the Lefnai V'Lefnim and Yom HaKippurim, see, even he is not done until he sees to it, until he's there and he observes that it all went up as it is supposed to go up. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Tashma, we're going to bring Rayas now. Hichnisa l'ravka v'dasha k'shera. If you take an animal, an egla rufa, and it just stamps around on the grain that happens to be on the floor, so that's not called that you did avoda, that you did malacha with the egla, and therefore it's still kosher to use as an egla rufa. Bishvil shetinok, but if you take the egla rufa and you have it nursed from its mother, but v'tidosh, but while it's doing that, it's schlepping along and it's helping with the threshing, so then psula, then it's going to be possible because it's considered that you did malacha with it. But wait, why would that be possible? V'acha d'lo efshar, it's got a nurse, so there's no other way. V'kamechavein, so yeah, you're enjoying, you're benefiting, so v'ketani psula, and yet it says that it's going to be possible. So don't you see that because you're having kavana, that's going to be possible, meaning a raya, that kavana makes a difference over here? Says Marno, shiny asim duksiv asher lo ubad ba mikol makom. Now, by egla rufa, the pasuk says asher lo ubad ba, that implies any type of work that was done with it is automatically going to be asir. Iyachi afilu reishanami, yeah, but if any type of work that was done with it is automatically going to be asir, then that should be true in the reisha as well. That should be true even when echnisa l'ravka v'dasha, that you brought it in to the barn and it just started trampling on things. That also should be asir. So halo damya elaha. No, you know what that's like? Shachin ala of kshera. Allah la zachar psula, that if the egla has a bird that rests on its back, then it's going to be kosher. But if it's mounted by a male, then it's going to be going to be possible. My taima, why? Why are we mechalik between different types of avoda? That if something is like a more minor kind of avoda, we're going to say, oh, we're not concerned with it. But if something is a more major kind of avoda, all of a sudden we're going to be more concerned with it. Says the Gemara. Amra Papa Iksiv Avad Vikarinan Avad Ada Avid Ba Ihu. If it would say Avad and the Kri and the Ksiv would both be Avad, so then the halacha would be that it's only when you do an avoda with that animal it's going to be Asir. Iksiv ubad, the Karinan ubad, afilu memelanami. And if the Kri and the Ksiv would both say ubad, we would imply that even if it happens memeli, even if you don't go out of your way to do anything, it just is, it's just ubad. So I would assume that it's always going to be possible. But hash de Ksiv avad, the Karinan ubad, ubadum yuda avad. But since there's a Kri and a Ksiv here, it's written without the Vav, and it's pronounced ubad, so we say that when it gets worked, it has to be dum yada avad, like when you would work it. What does that mean, like when you would work it? Ma'avad, denichale, avubad, denichale. That just like when you work it, it's something that you obviously want to happen. The kind of ubad that's going to be problematic is when it's nichale, when you're happy about it happening. A bird lands on its back, you're not happy about a bird landing on your cow's back. You have no interest in the bird landing on your cow's back. But a zachar mounts it, ooh, that's exciting to you because that might produce more animals, so you're going to become a richer person as a result of that. So that's uba dumya da avad. It's happening by itself. You didn't do anything. You didn't bring the male. You didn't bring the male to the female. But nevertheless, because it's happening, it's a dumya da avad. It's nichle. Very similar, by the way, to the drasha that we have about hechsher lekabel tuma. Kiyutan dumya dechiyitein. What if one of the zayin mashkim touches Michael, but you didn't put it there? Well, if it was nichle, if you were happy that it was there, it's already machshel lekabel tuma. Why? Because ksiv ki yitain, kri ki yutan, ki yutan, what is it, Al-Zara? The mayim is yutan, so we darshan that yutan dum yadi yitain, that only when it's nichle, when you're happy to have it there, so it's mamish, the same exact style of drasha of avad and uba. The Tosa Rashba writes over here that the drasha of Rav Papa is from the Kri of Ubad and from the Mesores of Avad is not totally in the Machlokas Tanoim Yeshem Lemerki Yeshem Mesores. Meaning we do have a Machlokas that comes up in a number of places in Shas, Mesech Sanhedrin, Mesech Sukkah, Yeshem in Mesech Menachos, Yeshem Lemerki Yeshem Mesores. When you have a Kri and a Ksiv, which is the primary for darshaning? Do we darshan like when it's said, when it's spelled Sukkos in the Torah, but it's read Sukkos? Do we darshan it as if it's Malay, as if it's Sukkos, or do we darshan it as if it's Sukkos? Totafos, Totefes, right? These are various examples that we have. Yeshem Lemikri, Yeshem Lesoros. So Tosfos Rashba says that is not what's going on over here, because over here what we're saying is that there's room for both, that we're able to darshan both the Mikra and the Mesoros. And if you're able to darshan both the Mikra and the Mesoros, then you ought to do so. Then you're supposed to darshan both the Mikra and the Mesoros. And that's exactly what we're doing. The Rishonim raised the question, well, wait a second. We're saying Avad Dum Yudu Ubad, Ubad Dum Yudu Avad, rather, and that's why if Allah le Zachar, it's going to be possible because that's something you're happy about. If you need this animal to have it for an egla arufa, and you know that if it's mounted by a male, then it's not considered kosher anymore, so then you're not happy about it. So all the Rishonim are bothered by this kasha. How can you say that you're happy about it? So Tosfos over here says that when it says it's kshere, even though it's alal zachar, it means you were happy ba'aliyaso, and therefore you can't be machshir. Meaning the way other Rishonim say it, maybe it's a little bit easier that whenever you judge whether something is nichale or not nichale, you always have to take this halacha out of the picture, right? If I say, well, if I open up my fridge on Shabbos and the light is going to turn on when I open up the refrigerator, it's psikreish delo nichale, because I don't want to be b'chal Shabbos. I don't want the light to turn on in the refrigerator. No, we say, and then what? Then it's going to be lo nichale, so it's going to be mutter, right? So, oh, good, now I'm happy about the light, because now it's mutter. Now, it's ridiculous. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out in Shuvah, you have to take this halacha out of the picture and say, okay, but for this halacha, would this be good news for you or would this be bad news for you? So that's the way that most of the Rishonim understand over here as well, that absent this halacha, would this be good news or bad news for you? Now, there is a machlokas in the Mishnah Meseches Parah between Rabbi Lazar and the Chacham whether a parah mu'uberes is kshero or psula, whether a pregnant parah. So the Rishonim say, shouldn't it be possible because it was alal zachar? So why is the whole nidon whether it's possible because it's mu'uberes, because it happens to be pregnant? Forget about the fact that it's pregnant. It was alal zachar. So the Tosos suggests that the din of Olah Le Zachar being pasul is like the sheet of the Chachamim, the pasul over there. But not everyone agrees. And Tos says that without any hechruch, without this hechruch, this din is clearly not L'chol HaDeos, because Rabbi Yehuda is cholik on it and holds that there's no psul, machmas revia. It's only if the bailim was marbia, the animal on it, but not when it's Olah Me'atzmo. So you see that this whole discussion is subject to some machlokas. Okay, but let's go right to now. So says Gemara, Tashma, another raya. Avedov, let's say you have a lost object that you're taking care of, so you have to, every once in a while, if it's a cloth, you have to spread it out to make sure that it's getting aired out and that it's not going to get ruined, it's not going to get, you know, musty and smelly. So lo yishtechen lo al gabi mitav, lo al gabi magud l'tzarcho. You shouldn't spread it out on a bed or on a pole of some sort for your own benefit. Avol shotcho l'tzarcho al gabi mitav al gabi magud. But for its benefit, you absolutely should do that. You should spread out these nice drapes. Nizdamnu lo orchin, if guests come over, lo yishtechen lo al gabi mitav al gabi magud bein l'tzarcho bein l'tzarcho. If guests are coming over, even if it could use a good airing out, don't air it out when guests are coming over, because that you're using it for your own benefit, because it's gonna, you're gonna show off as if you you're the owner of this beautiful drapery. So says Mar, no, shiny hasam de kalila. No, that's meaning what's the rai over here? We're suggesting that look, it's low efshar. You do, it needs it, so it's low efshar. And v'kamachavin, you're intending to benefit from having it out, and you see that low efshar v'kamachavin is us. Says Mar, no, you are destroying it by putting it out. Why are you destroying it? Shiny hasam de kalila imishum ena bisha imishum ganvi. Be either because you're causing an ayin hara, everyone's going to see how beautiful it is and it's going to bring about an ayin hara to it, or because of ganavim, everyone's going to see that you have these valuable things, meaning someone's going to ganavim are going to case out your house, they'll walk and they'll see that you have cheap cars parked in the driveway, that your house looks like it's in disarray or whatever, they're not going to go try to steal things from your house. But if someone sees that you have these beautiful items that you're always that you're hanging out, so then it's going to be subject to perhaps being stolen. So Tashma says Gemara, a third potential raya. Mokrik sus, people who are selling clothing, mokrin kedarkan, they could sell the clothing normally, carry them around the way they normally would, or, even though there may be shatness between the different clothing that you're selling. I mean, you're selling both wool and linen garments. As long as you don't have intention in the sun to protect you from the sun, or in the rain to protect you from the rain, so you're not having kavana to be nena from those clothing. But people who are extra machmir will hold the clothing on a stick instead of wearing them as they're carrying them door to door to sell. So you see that there is another option. You could do like the tznuin, but that's okay. As long as you're not having kavana, that's going to be mutter. So this is a raya against the first version of Rava's opinion, that when it's avoidable and you have no interest in benefiting from it, it's aser, because over here you see that it's mutter for him to do, even though it's avoidable. Says Mar, Tiyufta, Lamanda Masni Lishna Kama Durava Tiyufta, that is a Tiyufta on the Lishna Kama Durava. So now the Gemara opens up the next Sugya. We'll just start the Sugya, and B'ez Hashem will do the continuation of the Sugya tomorrow. V'lo Yasikbo, Tanra Rabbana, Tanra Shesiko Beklipe Orla, O Bekashin Shel Kilei Akerim. If you have an oven that is heated up with Klipe Orla, with shells of Orla, or Kashin of Kilei Akerim, so chadash yutatz, meaning these are things that are asr ba'ana. So if it's a brand new oven, you have to destroy the oven. The oven has now become asr forever. Yashan yutzan, but if it's an old oven, then you could just let it cool down. If you baked bread using those items that are asr ba'ana, so Rebbe Omer hapas asura, the chamer hapas muteres. Rebbe says even the bread is going to be asr, but the chamer say no, the bread that you baked in it is going to be mutter. Bishla al gabe gechalim, but if you cook the bread or you bake the bread not while the orla is being burnt, but after it was already burnt and it's turned into coals, then divrei hakol mutter. Then everyone's going to agree that it's mutter. And Rashi explains, afil le Rebbe dechias. By the time the bread is benefiting from the issur is already gone, it's already destroyed, it's already entirely batel. Tanur Garav Ein Avuk Kinegdan. Rashi says, and certainly, if the oven was heated up with these things, and then you swept out the oven, so there's actually nothing left in the oven except for residual heat, then for sure it's going to be mutter. But we're saying, even if there's still mamashos in the oven, but it's totally burnt, that's going to be mutter. Vatanya, but doesn't the Brisa tell us, so wait a second, says Gemara, but doesn't the Brisa tell us, Vein Chadash Pein Yashan Yutzan, that even if it's a brand new oven, you don't have to destroy it, you just cool it down, so it's a stira between the two Brises. Says Gemara, lo kasha, ha Rebbe, ha Rabban, it's machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Wait, it's one thing for Rebbe to say that Chadash Yutatz, that's the opinion of Rebbe, when there's Shvach Eitzim Bepas, when there's the benefit of the wood is sensed in the past. But if it's Zevza Goreim, if it's there are two causes for the bread to be baked, there's the Usser fuel and the Mutter oven. Does he go that far? So says Gemara, how are we going to deal instead with this stira between the two brises? You have a new oven that was heated up with Usser fuel. So what's the status of the oven? Is it Yash? Is it Yutatz? Or do you have to destroy it? Or just Yutzan, just let it cool down. El Lokasha, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan. It's really machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. Where, what, which Rabbi Eliezer, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to that tomorrow. Okay, have a great day, everyone.